court will proceed to the next case, Segura v. Holder.
Trace? Good morning, Your Honors.
Counsel?
My name is David Trace, and I'm representing the petitioner today, Felipe Sandro Segura. This is an appeal that comes before you from the Board of Immigration Appeals. Essentially, this case in a nutshell is about due process and fairness. And there's the brief has four issues, but I think three of them need to be talked about today. And the first is whether the Board of Immigration Appeals erred in finding the statement made by the petitioner without his attorney being notified or present were properly admissible. Now, it's long held that under the Fifth Amendment, immigrants, aliens, have rights to an attorney, providing that they're able to pay for them themselves. They're able to have that representation. And there is no Sixth Amendment right. The petitioner here is not asserting that he has one, a Sixth Amendment right to counsel or to be appointed counsel.
But wouldn't you have to show that the questioning resulted in inaccurate information or some other form of prejudice, considering that the right to counsel stems from the Fifth rather than the Sixth Amendment?
Well, Your Honor, it does go to it's almost prejudicial on its face if someone is saying, is being questioned, and they're in jail, they're being detained, they don't have a lawyer with them, even though they've asked, and in Mr. Segura's case, he asked for one. And I think that's key here, that he asked to have a lawyer present and was not afforded that.
But of course, removal proceedings are civil in nature.
I'm sorry, Your Honor?
Removal proceedings are civil.
Yes.
In nature, and as you aptly noted, the right to counsel stems, from the Fifth, right to due process rather than the Sixth. You have to show, was there inaccurate information that was elicited?
Yes, there was. The fact there was a conviction that was elicited that was not accurate. And what's interesting here, too, is, as lawyers, we're able to represent aliens before Immigration and Customs Enforcement. We're able to be present. We're able to be present before United States Citizens and Immigration Services. But we're not able to be present when a person is in jail and being questioned by the authorities. And it seems that once a person has invoked his right to counsel and asked to see a lawyer, that right should be afforded.
Did he ask for a lawyer when he spoke to them over the telephone?
My understanding is that he asked the people who led him to the telephone that he wanted a lawyer. This is someone who had been in jail prior to going into immigration detention, which is unusual. And so he had counsel lined up, and he wanted to speak to them. It's also our contention that Mr. Segura, when handed the phone, was not aware of who he was speaking to, as the parties did not identify themselves as immigration enforcement or immigration agents.
See, it's really, at his hearing, he admitted the facts in the I-213 that were necessary to support the removal order. He's not a United citizen. He wasn't admitted or paroled into the United States. So, he hasn't addressed the issue of prejudice.
Well,
nor did he ever challenge the facts that were in the I-213. So I have a little bit of a problem with that argument.
Well, it's not so much, it's how the facts were gathered. It's not so whether he's from Mexico or whether he entered without inspection, but how the facts were gathered. And this is just, this is one case, but there will be other cases too, and where people are being held and questioned and prejudiced without the benefit of attorney. Perhaps an attorney would have said, don't answer that question. And because some of this is incumbent upon the government to prove. And instead, what happens is people end up incriminating themselves because they don't have the benefit of a lawyer.
Let me make certain that I understood you.
Certainly.
On the telephone, did he say, I want a lawyer?
My understanding is on the telephone, he did not say that.
Right. So.
However, my understanding is prior to being on the telephone, he did say that.
You mean they said there's a phone call for you, Mr. Segura, and he said, I want my lawyer?
Well, they moved him from one jail to the next. And when he moved to the next jail, the whole time he was let them know that he had counsel and he wished to speak to counsel. If I may move to the next issue. Thank you. Also, the petitioner asserts that the BIA erred in denying the continuance that would have allowed his lawyer to brief issues regarding the service of the notice to appear. Now, I know in the record it states that there were multiple notices to appear,
right?
And these notices are the same. However, the judge in the administrative record on 85 notes that there are different notices, and in fact, while not in the administrative record that was provided by the Seventh Circuit, I do have a copy of those of the NTA that's different.
What was the difference between the two? And
there was a difference in the charges.
And why was any such difference material?
It was material because we need to know what's being defended against. And because in the first NTA, the first notice to appear, only the criminal charge appeared. Nothing about illegal entry, nothing about being not a citizen of the United States. So with only that criminal charge there, the board, in their opinion on this case, said you can't use a 213 to establish conviction of a criminal charge. So given that that's that one charge on that I-213, that would have been, you know, easily defeated. So when you add the other charge, that changes things. And if you're giving someone, again, who's not... This would be difficult for anyone, let alone someone who doesn't speak the English language well or is sophisticated in our legal proceedings here. He's given three different notices. And really, only one should be required. If you have charges, what are they? And the error here by the judge was not granting the continuance on this issue that would have allowed counsel to brief the issue and bring forth, you know, articulate arguments under this. And in declining to grant the continuance, the judge also failed to give reasons. A judge needs to give reasons. It can't just be arbitrary. In the transcripts, you'll see that he says, well, the hearing is today. When asked for the continuance, he says, well, the hearing is today, so I'm not going to continue it. And
now, I am missing something because I looked at the two different notices. I looked at the two.
You are missing something, Your Honor. You're missing the first notice that was not in the administrative record. And I have a copy of that and left to supplement the record post-hearing with that. But it does exist. It's right here in my hand. And
did you submit it post-hearing?
We have not. It is not yet to be submitted.
Do you not?
I'm sorry, sir?
The regulations permit that you could submit post-hearing. Is that correct?
Yes. Unfortunately, we were unaware that this was not in the record.
We
assumed that it was.
I am so mixed up now because all the copies of the notice that appear in the record, including the two that were attached,
they're the same.
They're exactly the same.
You're right.
They're identical.
They are. However, there is one that is not in the record that is not identical.
So now why isn't it in the record?
I don't know.
Well, was it?
I don't know.
Was it your responsibility to get it into the record?
Perhaps. Perhaps, but as I said earlier, it was assumed that it was in the record. The judge noted it himself that there were two different notices, and that's in the administrative record on page 85. I see that my time is up, but I would like, perhaps I can voice something on the other argument if I'm allowed rebuttal.
All right.
Thank you,
Your Honor.
Anything else? Thank you.
Ms. Tripoli?
May it please the Court, Brianna Stripoli on behalf of the respondent, the Attorney General of the United States. Petitioner in this case, Mr. Segura, entered the United States without being inspected and was accordingly placed into removal proceedings. The government met its burden of proving removability by offering a Form I-213 which contained information that was voluntarily given by petitioner. Petitioner was not eligible for any form of relief and instead moved to terminate the proceedings. The board, however, properly denied petitioner's motion to terminate. Petitioner advances essentially four arguments on appeal. However, all are without merit. I will address each in turn briefly. First, the board did not abuse its discretion when it denied petitioner's request for a continuance. Essentially, petitioner's arguments has three subparts on this. First, that the IJ erred by denying the motion for a continuance because there was a quote-unquote crowded docket. However, there's no evidence in the record whatsoever to support this. Secondly, on appeal, petitioner argues that a continuance should have been granted so that he could investigate whether petitioner was subject to racial profiling in his underlying criminal conviction. This was never raised to the immigration judge and certainly cannot be an abuse of discretion for the IJ to not consider something that was never raised. There is one thing that is supported by the record, and that was that petitioner requested to file a brief in supplement to the motion to terminate. However, the standard for a continuance is whether good cause is shown. In this case, petitioner gave no reason why the brief wasn't submitted in the first place with the motion that was submitted on March 31st. Petitioner had 3 months to prepare his motion and supply a brief if he wished to do so. The initial hearing was on December 10th, 2008. The immigration judge continued the proceedings to allow petitioner to consult with his attorney and was reconvened again on March 31st, 2009. Even at the hearing, petitioner was allowed to develop this argument. This is not a case where it was the government's fault for delay. In this case, it was the aliens. He was simply unprepared and did not have a brief and had no good reason for not having that there. Therefore, he failed to demonstrate good cause, and the immigration judge did not abuse his discretion. Next, I would like to turn to petitioner's argument that the NTA was improperly served. Essentially, petitioner is arguing that there were different NTAs served, which was confusing and hindered his ability to prepare his case. Petitioner's argument, however, is not supported by the record. As this panel has just recently noted, on AR 111, 114, and 120, which are the only three notices to appear in the record, all three of those are identical. To the extent that petitioner is now arguing that he has some copy of something different, it is not contained in the administrative record, and it is clear that this is what this court is limited to. Again, the two that were attached to petitioner's motion to terminate that argued on this ground. So therefore, if petitioner at any point did have two varying notices to appear, they should have been attached to that motion to terminate and incorporated into the administrative record. They were not. On appeal, he argues that there is a difference in charges of removability. On the record that we have before us today, the allegations of facts are the same, the charges of removability are the same, fingerprints are in the same location, signatures, so on and so forth. The statement that petitioner was notified in his native language of Spanish was also in there, as well as that he was properly personally served on October 2nd, 2008. Third, I would like to address petitioner's argument that the I-213 and the statements therein are inadmissible. We would respectfully disagree. This court has recently held that an I-213 is inherently trustworthy. In fact, this court has said, absent any indication that a form I-213 contains information that is manifestly incorrect or was obtained by duress, This court has found that the I-213 is inherently trustworthy and admissible as evidence. Petitioner has not and cannot demonstrate that the I-213 was derived from either duress, coercion, or was manifestly incorrect. In fact, the record from the limited testimony that petitioner did supply actually bolsters that the I-213 contains accurate information. Particularly, petitioner testified that it was the same date of the interview. The information regarding his family, in particular his children, was correct. And most importantly, on AR-92, petitioner also admits that he was not admitted or paroled, and this was done under oath. There was no information offered by petitioner that the I-213 was obtained under any of the circumstances of coercion, duress, or contains inaccurate information. Furthermore, we would assert that the I-213 is admissible for these reasons. And lastly, we would assert that this court lacks jurisdiction over the denial of the voluntary departure, both by statutory and recently held by case law. If there's no further questions from this panel, I'd be glad to submit on the briefs.
Mr. Trace, your time had expired, but you may have a minute.
I'd just like to address the issue of the voluntary departure. The judge in this case denied the voluntary departure based upon the 213, which asserted that there was a criminal conviction. The BIA held in its opinion that you cannot use a 213 to substantiate a conviction. There was no other reason for the denial of the voluntary departure. Hence, there was a misapplication of law, which led to this abuse of discretion. But there was a misapplication of law.
When he was asked about voluntary departure, he didn't respond.
Respectfully, Your Honor, as is his right, but earlier in the proceedings he did respond, and the judge said he would be considered, and the judge also said taking a stance of silence or asserting a constitutional right, even if it's done improperly in the judge's eyes, would not be a reason to deny voluntary departure, which is, unless there is something very egregious going on, is a routine benefit granted to people, because it's in the best interest of all parties. So we have a judge here who made some errors, misapplied the law, he didn't grant the continuance, and he didn't articulate his reasons, and we have a person in jail who asked for an attorney and didn't get one. Thank you.
Thank you, Mr. Trace. Case is taken under advisement.